right. Hey, NFL coaching legend Dick Vermeil is with us this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Here in just a moment, we're going to talk about how he turned a hobby into a post-football career with Vermeil Wines. We've got them all right here lined up. This is going to kind of be like Kathy Lee Gifford and Hoda when they're drinking wine on set, but I'm trying to be a good girl. I'm trying to be a good girl right now. But we do want to get your take. It's a big weekend in the NFL with the NFL's Final Four, the AFC, the NFC Championships. What chances do you give the Packers on coming away with a win against Seattle?
Oh, I think they can go there and win. Okay. You know, I think personally, I think the team that doesn't turn the ball away or turn it around, say the team that takes the ball away from the opponent's going to win the ball game. Turnovers in good teams, big games usually decide the winner. And Green Bay is certainly capable of beating Seattle. Seattle certainly capable of beating Green Bay. I would give them a 50-50 chance of winning the football game. I really would. I've studied both teams in detail, and each team has some strengths and weaknesses, but it'll come down to a simple term: best team on game day.
What is your evaluation of Russell Wilson? Our very own Sean Salisbury has been on our show many times, and we've really talked about him a lot, and just a remarkable young man and what he's been able to do. You were talking about poise earlier. Yeah. He certainly has it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's mature for his age in the National Football League, right?
Yeah.
And no, I think he's a spectacular player. I think he's actually underrated as a passer. You know, he has
he's
a quarterback.
He's undersized.
I know. His quarterback efficiency rating is 95. Which is better than the average winning Super Bowl quarterback over 25 years. So, I mean, this guy's a fine player. Now, they automatically think he's not as good a passer as somebody else because he's shorter and he runs a lot. But a week or so ago, he threw some balls downfield. He looked like Rodgers, okay?
Absolutely. Hey, Dick Vermeil with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Okay, so we hit on the Packers and the Seahawks. Talk to me about the Colts and the Patriots. How do you see this playing out? I just want Andrew Luck to shave that beard. It's just awful.
You know, you're not the first person that said that to me today. But anyway, I'd say this. I can't see Indianapolis going there and beating New England,
right?
Patriots, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick in New England. It is really tough to do. I thought Baltimore should have beaten them last week. Really, I think Baltimore in that game, to me, that day was the best team of the two. They didn't win it. The trick play beat them, really. And that's all part of football. But I think it'll be a good football game, but I don't think Indianapolis can go there and beat them. I just don't think they can. Now, if Tom Brady plays poorly in a big game, which is highly unusual or almost impossible, then it can happen. You know, again, the best team game day.
Dick Vermeil with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We want you to connect with us. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. You can always email the show at elissa@yahoosportsradio.com. Of course, Dick Vermeil, 15 seasons in the NFL as a head coach. And I got to ask you this. You were with the Eagles for 7 years, and then you stepped away from the game. I mean, I know the hours are crippling. It's intense. It's a pressurized environment. How difficult was that for you to step away after you guys had just reached the Super Bowl?
Well, you know, it was... I made it more difficult than it had to be. You know, I allowed a passion to become an obsession, and I just couldn't turn it off. And when my own personality, emotional, intense, and those kind of things, it added up to my wife and I decided I needed a break for my own personal health. So I decided I would take a year off. I didn't anticipate having an opportunity in national television. I went to work. I went from making $75,000 a year, working year-round 24 hours a day, to working 16 games a year, making $150,000.
Wow.
I was stealing for a living. You know, I said, wow.
And Carol probably loved it, didn't she?
Oh, yeah, she did. She loved it.
And
it was fun. And I had opportunities to go back, and I was a little bit chicken. I didn't want to find myself in the same state of mind I was when I left. And because I wasn't the coach I thought I was prior to really emotionally running out of gas. And fortunately, Georgia Frontier, John Shaw, and Jay Sigmund gave me the opportunity to come back in 97. I took it. I took that job because I felt, you know, at that age, you get in your 60s, not many people are going to offer a job to a guy who's been out of coaching for 14 years. So I said, all right, I'm going back. And it went well.
Well, there's a saying that a bow that is always bent will eventually break. So you really did have to recharge and refocus, didn't you?
Yeah, I didn't have a really, you know, when I look back now, I didn't have a choice. I did the right thing selfishly for myself.
How did you handle the intensity of the NFL environment? Because one can't understand that unless you've been a part of it.
Well, obviously, I didn't handle it well enough my first 7 years as the head coach, you know, because I just couldn't turn it off. And
but the second time around, what did you do different?
Well, I was, you know, I'm 60-something years old now. And I better knew myself. I spent time with people that study personalities and study the term burnout, and I listened to them this time. I didn't listen when people
did you delegate? Did you outsource
and
more?
And I became a more mature leader, and I recognized that I didn't have to do it all myself. And maybe one of my most important things to do is build an environment in which everybody working there enjoyed being there, making a contribution. And then when you recognize people that can make a big contribution, make sure you give them more time to do it, you know, and keep the environment where they felt good about it. And so all head coaches have coordinators, but I allowed my coordinators to coach more than I did the first time around. And I didn't call my own plays. I did a little bit off and on, but very little. And I delegated and I led. And I think it worked good. We won. Yeah.
During that 15-year sabbatical, what did you miss the most?
I miss the players. I miss the relationship with the coaches, the bonding. As you know, as an athlete, it's hard to be in any other kind of walk of life where you develop the relationships that you develop in a locker room, in the competition, the heat of battle, and the highs and the lows, the emotions, and the intensity, and the caring for each other. People don't realize how much of that really is developed in an intense NFL locker room.
And it's more than coaching. I mean, it's almost like being a father figure to so many of these guys. And that's got to be so rewarding as a coach, seeing how these guys blossom and develop. And really, in many ways, they grow up, don't they?
Oh, yeah. You know, I started out in high school coaching, and people said, did you change much? And I went high school, junior college, college, and NFL. I said, I was always Dick Vermeil, to a fault and sometimes to a strength. But I just never changed. And I didn't coach an NFL football player any different than a kid did at the kids at Hillsdale High School. Now, they made a lot more money, and they were bigger and faster and stronger and brighter in terms of football. But I think as a coach, you have to be yourself and work within the framework of your own personality and your own talents. And that's how I approached it. But the first time around, I thought the only way we could win was outwork somebody. So we just kept adding hours to the day when pretty quick you didn't have any hours left. And we still got beat from time to time.
Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, we want you to join us online at Twitter, at E-Radio Sports, as we're having a candid conversation with NFL coaching legend Dick Vermeil. Here in just a moment, we're going to transition. One of the things I got to ask you about is when you coached, even at the high school, the collegiate level, were you as emotional? Because you obviously, you shared your emotions with your players.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's a strength, sometimes it's a weakness. I don't know, but you have to be yourself. And I've always been a very emotional guy. And I've always been that way. I've always been emotional. Yeah, high school, junior college, college, pro football. And I've walked into NFL stadiums and hear someone yelling, say, "Hey, Vermeil, why don't you cry for me?" You know, I feel like up yours, you know.
Hey, Dick Vermeil, just a few more moments this weekend at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to transition, talk about the hobby that has turned into a post-football career. What was the inspiration to get into the Vermeil wine business?
Well, I was born in Calistoga, the north end of the Napa Valley. My grandfather, Vermeil, made all the Vermeil wines. We didn't have any labels on the bottle, and I grew up, along with my brother Stan, helping my grandfather from time to time with the physical sides of it. And I was fascinated by it and the process, and not that I learned to make wine, but I appreciated what it took to make wine, and I also grew up in a family where wine was appreciated on the dinner table. It's not a drink as part of the meal. Mm-hmm. And there was great memories. And so I started making wine in the 90s for fun with friends in Calistoga that I grew up with. And we make 150 cases, had a Vermeil label on it and that kind of stuff. And the little winery that made it sold it with our name on it, Vermeil name on it. And then in 2008, some friends with money, good, successful business people, said, let's take your wine process, all your connections in the Napa Valley, and turn it into a full-fledged business. Well, I said, okay. So my name's on it, so I put in more time than everybody other than the one person that's assigned to the business side of it. I'm assigned to trying to sell it. But we make good wines. We win awards. We just won awards here for our 2012 vintages. These wines in front of us have won gold medals and gotten 90s and 90-plus scores and all that kind of stuff. So it's more competitive than the NFL.
I was going to say, how competitive is the wine business?
Well, we have 32 teams in the NFL, all striving to be the best. The Napa Valley, you got 500 wineries, okay? And nobody makes bad wine. You know, you can't afford to make lousy wine. If somebody has convinced you that Vermeil wines are really good, it's going to taste better to you. If you add somebody's name to it, you know he's a great winemaker. You automatically give him credit for being good wines. You give him credit. I've noticed that so much. And a little guy could make better wine than somebody with a bigger name, and it won't receive the recognition because it's not supposed to be as good. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, NFL coaching legend, the great Dick Vermeil has been joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We sincerely appreciate you dropping by. We send our best to Carol as well. We look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Thank you very much.
Stick around. Much more straight ahead.